third chamber. Rick's eyes were open as Ryan, Christy, and JB walked in on him. He was lying in a corner of the room, under piles of furs, barely visible.
Oh, hi, guys. You made it.
How is it?
That's like asking Mrs. Lincoln if she'd like to play.
Listen, Rick.
Ryan knelt down at his side, Christy and JB standing behind him. Ryan turned to see that Doc and Jack had also entered the room.
Go ahead, man. Speaking's getting harder, but I can still listen real good.
We got clear of the Ville, but we faced up with that set man, Grigory Zemyanin. Maybe we should have chilled him, I don't know. There's too many throats to try and cut them all.
You fear that the Russians might try to pursue us?
Yeah. I wasted their tracker, but Zemyanin's not a stoop. He got a map, and he'll have sec reports. Food stolen from Ville's around. Won't take him that long to start drawing some lines, and find that they all connect close by here. Then it's only an hour or so before we get visitors.
You mean get my finger out of the hole, Ryan? Time's wasting. Sure. You get me down to the gateway and sit me comfortable and... Oh, Christ, it hurts. Help me get there and we'll save the ship.
When, Ryan?
Now.
There were some killings. Some men disappeared. I want the request taken to my office. Clerk Second Class Elisa Andreevna will know. I must know as soon as possible. While we wait, I want men to sweep every stinking hovel for 20 miles around. I want word of food or clothes being taken. Word of any strangers. Word of hearing blasters. Tracks, wags, anything that's even a breath away from the ordinary. Anything at all. Understand? Good. Then get on with it. I'm sure we're close. I want to be closer.
When they helped Rick to his feet, Ryan saw that the tattered and scorched American flag was neatly folded at his side. Ginsburg was almost helpless, unable to stand unaided. Outside, the skies had cleared and the temperature had dropped below zero. Christy had suggested a fire to keep the glow of life in Rick, but Ryan vetoed the idea. The smoke from the chimney would carry for miles, and would lead any pursuers to them, as surely as a bank of floodlights. Zorro was underfoot as they began to move Rick up the main stairs of the house. Ryan nearly tripped over the puppy and kicked out at it.
Ah, fire blast, Doc. Keep the goddamn dog out of the way or I'll snap its neck.
Stow it, lover. It's only a little dog.
I meant what I said. This isn't some double easy kids game. I figure we have to be out of this place one way or another by the end of tomorrow. Probably sooner.
Zemyanin was only a handful of miles away from the dacha by sunset of the same day. He'd enlisted one of the gangs of teenage wolverines from the nearest suburb, knowing that their blind loyalty to the party and their insatiable relish for cruelty and death made them the perfect instruments of terror. It had taken irritatingly long for the information he wanted to be transmitted from his office in Moscow. When it came, nobody had a decent map of the area. Zemyanin was finding that his patience was slipping from his control, like sand through an hourglass. Everything was going wrong. If Aliyev had still been alive, he was confident that Cawdor, Dix, and the rest of the spies would already be dangling from a convenient branch, if his bosses hadn't ordered them back to the Ville for some popular show trials. Now they were still at liberty, and he didn't know where. The news was beginning to filter into him from the wolf pack. A lad of 12 with webbed fingers brought word of food disappearing from some wretched collection of hovels to the southwest. Always to the southwest. Another boy, who seemed incapable of not picking his nose, said there was talk of a giant lone wolf that was raiding some of the hamlets, stealing food.
Southwest?
But Zemyanin already knew the answer. He wasn't surprised when the boy nodded his agreement. By evening, the local SEC commander had finally been located. He had been off on a secret mission that involved some illicit cheese and beef, which he was taking a percentage of. His sister-in-law had tracked him down with the sickening news that some stone-eyed bastard of a senior SEC officer wanted him urgently. Pausing only to change his undershorts, the man rushed along to meet with Zemyanin. To his enormous relief, the Muscovite didn't seem concerned about where he'd been or even what he'd been doing. Zemyanin simply wanted to draw on his specialized local information, briefing him on the situation and asking him for his thoughts.
They are hiding.
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar. But you do not think that they might have simply kept running? That their base is farther out?
Zemyanin had taken off his cap with the silver circle, and he rubbed his hand over his bald skull. He considered the suggestion, but swiftly rejected it.
No.
But they...
No. I plotted all reports. All of them. They began a few miles from here, no farther. And now they go back by precisely the same route. They are hiding someplace close by. I saw a name on the map. The name was Peredelkino.
The SEC commander nodded thoughtfully, his brain sharpened by his fear that his black market dealings might be discovered, and honed further by relief that they hadn't been.
Peredelkino? Yes, I know it. The stories are that Stalin provided large houses there. In fact, I believe that the Americans were given one.
You're sure? A dacha that was once owned by the Americans at Peredelkino? Then we have them, Mother Russia. We have them. We must mount an attack. Not a massive attack. It might come to that, but I want to try to take them by surprise. Send me the vicious little bastard who runs the pack.
Ryan shook his head as he saw again the full extent of the damage done to the locking mechanism of the gateway door.
You sure are one powerful woman, Christy.
It's not my strength. I can only do that by calling on the Earth Mother. You know that.
I know.
He looked at the twisted metal, with entrails of the lock hanging out. Doc was at his elbow, peering at the wreckage.
A sorry sight, my dear Ryan. Depressing to see the cunning works of man's hands laid so sadly low, is it not?
It is, Doc.
I confess that I have spent some totally unprofitable hours while you were away, down here in the bowels of the earth. I was trying to work out some way whereby we might bypass the lock and trigger the jump mechanism from within.
Nothing?
It is a poor craftsman who blames his tools. I had no tools to blame.
How about now, with what we brought?
Perhaps. And then again, perhaps not.
No. Yes. Yes, we can.
Are you sure?
There was a sudden startling glow in Rick's sunken eyes.
We can, Ryan. Don't doubt it, buddy. Just get the guys lifting the barges and toting bales and all that shit. It'll take us the best part of 8 hours if we're lucky, that is.
The boy who led the pack of SEC brats was only a year or so younger than Jack Lauren. He had the same sharp planes to the bones of his face, and the same blank killer's eyes. He wore a cut-down woman's jacket in pale blue artificial silk, the sleeves hacked out and the front daubed with maroon circles of paint. The pants were a small SEC issue, tucked into a worn pair of canvas boots. The ubiquitous strangler's cord, the badge of the leader in a wolf pack, was tucked into the narrow belt. The gang was a little larger than most. Zemyanin had counted 18 of them, about half girls.
You understand what I want you to do?
For several seconds, the boy said nothing, his face showing as much emotion as a slab of weathered stone. The officer wondered if he might be deaf, or very simple-minded, and was about to repeat the question. But the kid's mouth clicked open.